Our goal is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus and do what Jesus did. That's what we're all about. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Last week, Rob did a great job kicking us off in our new series on the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And we're just going to be going through this until we get everything we can get out of it. That sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be learning from the life of Jesus. And so last week, Rob talked about how we got to prepare the way for Jesus in our lives. And today, we're going to continue reading in Luke chapter 1. And the title of Hannah and I's message today is, Who Do You Serve? Who do you serve? We'll get more into that question a little bit later in the sermon. But right now, let's go ahead and pray to God, and then we'll continue here. Father God, thank you so much for this gathering today. Thank you so much, God, that you are here with us, God.
Yeah.
That you want to speak to us this morning as a collective, as your church, but also, God, to us as individuals, Lord. God, we know that you have us here for a reason today in the East Village. God, I pray that you would get Hannah and I out of the way so that you can speak through us, God. Lord, we want to hear the message that you want us to hear today, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to start by asking you guys a question this morning. Do you ever doubt that the Lord is with you? That God is with you? That he can use you to change the world? Do you ever let your past mistakes make it hard for you to have faith that God can use you now? That he is with you now? Do you ever let fear dictate your life more than faith? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I want to encourage you to pay close attention to this passage today. Amen? And to let God help you with these questions that we're going to talk about. I know I can struggle with these questions. I know intellectually, as a Christian, that the Lord is with me.
Yeah.
It's here in my head, but in my heart and in my actions, I can struggle to really believe it and show it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we can all struggle, guys, with believing that God is with me, the Lord is with me, and that because he is with me, I don't have to fear. But a lot of times we can find ourselves in fear. And who really wrestled with this was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's read here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. That's a pretty good question there, Mary. Verse 35, the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Amen?
Amen.
This is the passage that we're going to focus on this morning. And our first point is the Lord is with you. You might have guessed that by the questions we started with. We're going to talk about how the Lord is with you. Just to give some context here, you know, so Elizabeth is pregnant with Jesus's cousin, John. Rob talked a little bit about John the Baptist last week. And God sends an angel named Gabriel to Nazareth to meet with Mary. I mean, If you had an angel sent to you, wouldn't you be feeling pretty good about yourself? Like, dang, God must really be trying to get my attention. An angel showed up at my door, right? But Mary is not married yet. She soon will be to Joseph, but she is a virgin and unmarried. And so the angel doesn't say a lot, but the angel does say this, that greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. But notice how Mary responds. She responds with being greatly troubled, disturbed, not encouraged, not full of joy, not faith, but troubled and overwhelmed. And I think this already goes to show, church, that even though God is with us, and it's true here in this passage, even though that's true, we don't always feel excited or faithful. Even when we're told by an angel, sometimes we can have trouble in our hearts, even though this is true. Even though this is true, we can still feel overwhelmed. We can still give in to fear. So even though this is true in this moment for Mary, she still feels troubled. Right? And so how does the angel respond? He continues to encourage her here.
So I just want to go back to the beginning of this interaction where the angel appears to Mary. And she's a woman in a time where men are more likely to be shown this kind of attention, especially by another man. I know he's an angel, but he probably looked like a man, right? His name's Gabriel. So, you know, a man's coming up to her. She's a little bit like, well, also she's young. She's very young. She is, and in a time where like age and wisdom is also something that makes you worthy of respect and honor. And so, you know, this most definitely would have been one of those like, who, me? Like when the angel comes to her and says, you are highly favored. And I know like another thing about Mary is that she's from Nazareth, and that's like a nowhere town, right? Like she's a nobody from a nowhere town, and this angel comes to her. I know you guys can't relate. You're like super like president of your clubs and from New York, but let's just try to put ourselves in her shoes for a minute, right? And this is just the beginning of a story that is about to get like for real crazy, right? Like I've heard some crazy stories in the Bible, but I honestly think that this one like takes the cake. The angel man comes to her and he's like, don't be afraid, you're favored. But also, I know you're unmarried, you're a virgin. Like, but don't worry, God's gonna take care of that. You will gain 30 to 40 pounds, grow a living being inside of you, and give birth to that baby that you didn't have a plan for. But don't worry, don't be afraid, it's okay. But like, I feel for Mary. Like, can we just take a moment, put ourselves in her shoes? This is wild. Like, how hard must it have been for her to truly believe that she found favor with God after hearing this and being put in this situation? How hard must it have been for her to not be afraid? Like these questions that must have been spiraling through her head. Will people really believe that I'm a virgin even though I'm pregnant? Like, obviously, that's like number one question. Like, is anyone going to believe this? How will I explain this? Not everybody saw this angel come to me. They're going to think I'm seeing things. I'm crazy. Like, what kind of scandals may people make up in their heads? I was engaged or betrothed to Joseph, but he's saying he didn't get me pregnant and the Holy Spirit came on me and the power of God was with me. Like, there's so many things that people can make up. And, you know, where can I hide for the next 9 months? That's what I'd be thinking. But like I said, she's from a small town. Like, everybody knows each other, you know? Everyone's going to know all her business, so she's not going to be able to hide. And not only that, but, like, what will her soon-to-be husband think? Mm-hmm. And spoiler, it doesn't say it in Luke, but in Matthew 1, verse 19, it says that because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't, but still, like, he was thinking it, you know? Like, everyone involved was spiraling. They were thinking, like, what are we going to do about this? Using words like disgrace. And, you know, yet the angel of the Lord was reminding Mary that she was indeed favored by God and that the Lord was with her. Mary must have been battling lose my place. She must have been battling whether or not to believe her own negative thoughts and Satan's lies, or to listen and believe what the angel is telling her. She had a choice to make. And the question was, will I be faithful or will I give in to my fears? And God is saying, yes, Mary, although this situation is out of this world and can cause others and yourself to doubt your worth, I am with you. You are favored. Do not be afraid. And as disciples of Jesus, this is true for us as well. God is with us. You are favored. You don't need to fear. But do you believe this about yourself? Or maybe you have yet to make Jesus Lord. He has always been for you. He died for you while you were in your darkest. Just like Yannick was talking about in his communion, the scriptures tell us that God died for the ungodly. You are worthy. Satan wants us to believe that we're too sinful, we're too messed up, we're not worthy, we can't be used. And his goal is to make us believe that the Lord is against us, that he doesn't want us, that he is not with us. But Romans chapter 8, verses 31-33, God reminds us again in his scriptures. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? God has chosen us. These scriptures we get to hold on to and be grateful that he has.
Amen.
Let's keep moving here. Again, with this first point, we just really want to encourage you guys with what the angel is encouraging Mary with, that the Lord is with you. He loves you. He wants to use you to change lives. And guys, God doesn't make mistakes. He believes that you can be a powerful force for the kingdom of God. Amen. Yes, little old you. So don't give in to fear and believe these same words that the angel said to Mary are true about you. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Amen? So let's keep moving here. In verse 32, as we read on, it says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So point number two is his kingdom is for you. So the Lord is with you, and his kingdom is for you. The angel begins to tell Mary about how Jesus's kingdom will never end. She's being told that her son will be a king and he will reign not just for a little while, but forever.
Yeah.
That's pretty epic to be told about your unborn son. So imagine her processing that. She's never experienced that. And Mary, she's probably thinking about some other scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about this coming kingdom. Probably a scripture like this in Daniel chapter 7 might have come to her mind as the angel was telling her about this kingdom. It says, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one, which will not be destroyed. Can I get an amen, church,
amen,
on this truth that what we're a part of in the kingdom of God, no one can destroy it.
Yeah.
No one can. And God's saying, hey, Mary, your son, he will reign over this kingdom.
Wow.
That will never be destroyed. This is a prophecy about what Jesus is going to do. God is giving Jesus all authority. And notice how it says that all might serve him. So he's not going to force you, but he's saying, hey, I would love for you to be a part of this kingdom community. And I would love for you to serve me because there's no better one to serve. Mm-hmm. That this is the hope, guys. The beauty of the kingdom of God is that it's made up of different kinds of people groups. But because we all decide to serve one king and love with his love, it works, right? There's a standard. And why do we all come together to serve this king? Because we've all come to find that he is good and that he is the only one, the only king that will lay down his everything for you.
Yeah.
No friend will do that for you. No boss, no form of a career. But Jesus says, yeah, I'll rule, I'll reign, but I'll show you my love.
Yeah. Mm.
And so if this is the truth, if his kingdom's going to reign forever and it's in scripture, it's going to happen, why fight it? Why try to build your own faulty kingdom? Why go against a perfect, loving, and compassionate king in Jesus? You know, part of how God tells us that he is with us is by making it clear that his kingdom is for us. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying you belong in this kingdom because you were created by this king. Mm. Unlike other things we let rule our life, this king, again, he shed his blood for you. So Jesus knows you, and not only does he know you, but he knows the end game. Anyone like that movie, Endgame?
Yeah. Yeah,
raise your hand if you're a Marvel fan in here. Did you freak out when that movie came out, right? We did a little bit. We tried to play off of that. I went to a retreat on that. But God knows the end game.
Yeah.
Jesus wins. He rules forever. God knows the full story. The Bible tells us right here multiple times in Scripture what will happen in the future and that his kingdom will reign forever. How would it change things if you knew how the story ended in every aspect of your life? Let me just give you guys a more of a specific illustration. Imagine someone telling you where you would end up in life, what your job would be, who you'd marry or if you wouldn't marry, what your family would look like, the places you would go, and even how long you would live. What if someone told you that today? Would that not freak you out a little bit? Like, first of all, who are you? And how can I know this is true? But let's just say what they tell you 100% true about your life. All the knowledge, all the things they gave you. They're saying this is going to be how your life ends. DeAndre, you can't change it. I just told you. This is how it's going, right? This is how the story ends. This is how, maybe you'll even say, this is how old you'll be when you'll pass. This is where you'll be. This is who you'll be with. Let me ask you, would that not change the way you lived your life?
Yeah.
If you knew how the story ended?
Yeah.
Right? And if you try to fight it, then you're just fighting a losing battle. Does that make sense? If you try to fight it and DeAndre's like, no, I know this is going to happen in my life, but I want to do what I want to do. It's like, why are you doing that when this is what's going to happen?
Right.
You can't change it. You can't control it. And here's the crazy thing that we need to take to heart, church, is that God knows how this grand story of life is going to end, yet we don't decide to let that dictate the way we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom will reign forever. He is the only king. He will judge you. But yet we decide, I think I'm just going to do what I want with my life. I know scripture says what will happen in the end, but I'm still going to do what I want. And it looks crazy, just as crazy as our boy DeAndre, if he tried to fight what was going to happen in his life, right? Because again, in short, Jesus wins. He reigns. So why keep fighting this king when he will reign over you? Maybe you're not going to let him reign now in your life, but there will come a day where he will reign over everyone and it'll be a good reign, a perfect kingdom. And so the Lord knows the future. He knows what will happen in the end. But let me ask you, don't you think knowing this shouldn't just change the way we live our lives later when we're about to die? But shouldn't this truth of the kingdom change the way we live our lives now?
Yeah.
Living in this kingdom reality. That each day we think about ways we can let Jesus be king, even in the littlest of things. Has the reality of his kingdom, being the only one that lasts, actually stopped you from building yours? Has it? And are you more focused on building your kingdom or the Lord's? This is an important thing for us to think about, because I'm here to remind you guys today that, again, your kingdom, whatever you're building, it's going to end. In fact, your reign ended. If you're a disciple, Your reign ended when you said, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
That day, it ended. That was your decision. God didn't force you. No one did. But you said, Jesus is Lord. And therefore, he's my master. He's my king. So now Jesus reigns in your life. He calls the shots. But Satan wants us to get focused on our kingdom. And what do I mean by that? Because, you know, it kind of makes sense in theory. Hey, we can build our kingdom. But let's unpack that a little bit. That sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
So how do you know if you're more fixated on building your kingdom than his? One is if you're ruling your life, then you care more about your reputation to others and how you look to the world than you care about if people know Jesus or not.
Mm-hmm.
You care way more about how people view you at school, at work, than your soul cares about them having a relationship with God.
Come on, Mark.
That's building your kingdom. If you're building your kingdom, then you think more about your success, how to make a name for yourself, than you think about making known the name of God. You think about your brand, right? You might not have a name for your brand. Let's just say it's your name, right? I want to be known. We see influencers, right, on TikTok and Instagram. We see these people, and hey, be honest, there's got to be a little part of you sometimes like, hey, that'd be pretty cool if I had 1 million followers, right? That'd be pretty cool if I had 140,000 views on everything I post, right? We kind of fall into that trap of being the center of attention when it's always been about Jesus.
Yeah.
He's always been the main character of the story,
yeah.
But we can be more concerned about our success, our money, our fame, than God being known. You know, if you're building your kingdom, it's really easy to store up treasure here, right? To think about what car you want to have, how much money you're going to make, where you want to travel. And listen, amen. God wants you to have a career. God wants you to do what you love. He wants you to pursue your passions. I'm not saying don't work hard, don't dream. Dream. But know that all of that you dream about in this life, all of the things you'll build up, none of it's going to last. You can't take it with you. And so we got to not fall in this trap of building a life that to the world looks amazing, but in God's eyes, it looks crazy because it's all going to go away. And he's saying, but my kingdom's the only one that's going to last. This will be eternal. And so look, some of us here really have to reflect and repent in this area. And think about for you, what is really dictating my life? Is it what I want? Is it how I'm ruling? Or is it what Jesus wants in my life? And what do I care about more? And what do my actions show? So just to close out this point, let Jesus be the gracious King. Let him lead you. Let him help you. Let him use you to change the world and mold you to be more loving, more soft-hearted towards the needs of the lost around you. Amen? Again, the Lord is with you. His kingdom is for you. So receive it with gratitude, and that he wants you to be a part of it and help advance it. So just to recap, what we talked about so far is how God is with you. His kingdom is for you. But the last thing we want to talk about, which is talked about in this passage, is that his spirit is in you. His spirit is in you as a disciple. So how does Mary respond to all of this, right? I mean, talk about getting a message from an angel that just changed your whole life. Talk about, anyone struggle with processing big life events? Just like, even just, hey, you got fired. I'm going to process that real quick,
yeah.
Right? Or, hey, I know you wanted to graduate this May, but you don't have enough credits. Well, let me process that really quick. Just planned out the next months of my life, right? There's certain things that it's like we get frozen and we try to like figure out what are we going to do? How is this going to work? Especially when things don't go the way we planned. Or maybe they're going to go a different way. But you know what question we start to ask is how? Mm-hmm. How is this going to happen? Verse 34, notice what happens here. Mary says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So what's Mary's response to this news the angel is telling her about becoming pregnant, even while being a virgin, is, how will this be? Explain this one to me, God, right? Worth an explanation, right? How can this happen? And what's the simple reply? The Holy Spirit. Drop the mic. The Holy Spirit. How is this miracle going to take place, God? How are you going to use me, Mary, young Mary? And God's saying to Mary, hey, it's not going to be by your power, but by the power of the Spirit of God. Yeah. You know, just like Mary asking the angel, how will this be? Don't we do the same thing to God?
True.
God tells us he's with us. He wants to use us. He wants to change lives through us. He tells us a lot in Scripture of what he wants to use us to do. And a lot of times we ask him, but how, God? How really are you going to use me to do these things, these divine kingdom things? God, how can you use a sinner like me to bring heaven on earth? How can I overcome my addiction to lust and pornography? God, but come on, God, how can I really forgive this person? Do you know how they hurt me, God? And you're calling me to forgive them? How? God, how can I really be someone who goes and makes disciples, God? I've only been a Christian for a year. God, how can I do this? Do you know my past? Do you know what I've done? And God's like, I know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah, true.
And it's not going to be you who does it. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's the how. And if you're a baptized disciple, this is what God is saying to you today. Every time you ask how, he replies through my Spirit. Mm. Yet we don't think about his Spirit a lot. And we don't really lean into the Spirit as much as we probably should, when it's one of the biggest things that happens at our baptism, is receiving him. I love how it says, he says to Mary, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mm. Right? And I think we got to let that sink in for us, right? The power of the Most High will overshadow your weaknesses, your insecurities, your fears, the way you compare yourself. It'll overshadow what you've done in your past.
Come on, Mark.
And that's what God's saying to us. Hey, I get it. I get that you're a sinner. But he's saying, but my Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's what does holy mean? Set apart, right? It's only going to lead you to do holy things, which we don't always want to do holy things. And so, again, you might say, but Mark, you don't get it. You don't know me. And hey, some of you, I really don't know. So that is true. But God knows you. And God's saying this. How? The Holy Spirit, right? How are you going to use me, God? The Holy Spirit. And last time I checked, Galatians 5:16 is still true. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Is that not the best thing you heard all week?
Yeah.
That if you do this, you won't do what your sin wants you to do. If we walk by the Spirit of God, then we won't give in to our sinful nature. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
That we can walk by him.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus living within us, and he's advocating for righteousness. He's advocating for holiness every day as he's in you. But just because as baptized disciples we have the Spirit doesn't always equate that we're walking in step with the Spirit.
Yeah.
That we're really listening to him, living by him. You know, I want you guys to really hear me on this. And this is something I need to say to myself, and I'm learning for myself. Is that we need to stop trying to do holy things with human strength.
Come on, Mark.
We got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to build his church in New York City. Yeah. We're trying to bring the kingdom of God to one of the most jacked up places in the world. And we can do it on our own strength. And God's like, I want to help you. I want to do things with AONYC that we don't even dream of. I want to do things with the New York City Church of Christ that you haven't even thought about, Mark. But stop doing divine things with human strength.
Come on.
Stop trying to do it on your own. Guys, we can't build his church without his Spirit.
Yeah.
We can't do it. There's been times in my life, just to share vulnerably, where I have tried very hard to do it without the Spirit of God. You know, even right now in my life, being a dad, being a new dad, and still doing ministry full time and having more responsibilities now as a dad, I find myself sometimes in the week like, how am I going to do the things that I feel called to do? Or how am I going to do this, this, and that? And I'm learning in those moments to be like, Mark, even if you can't do that thing you want to do today, God's still going to move. And you need to rely on Him, Mark.
Yeah.
Don't rely on your experience.
Yeah.
Don't rely on, oh, I shared with this amount of people today. That's great. Have goals. Meet a lot of people for Jesus. But I'm learning to say to God, God, I just need you to multiply my loaves and fishes today. I need you to use me. I need your Spirit. I can't do this without you, God. Let me get on my knees and say, God, use me.
Yeah.
But are you doing that? You have limited time. You're a full-time college student. Some of you work full-time as well or part-time. We have to ask God, God, help me not rely on my own strength. Help me to walk in step with your Spirit. Galatians 5, 24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is what we got to focus on. Here's some ways we can do that practically. Practice prayer every day. Close the door, put your phone away, and go be with God. And learn how to be aware to His presence. You don't have to ask Him a ton of things. Just go be with Him and think about Him and pray to Him. Talk to Him. Go on a walk with Him. Pull up a seat at the table for Him. Pray with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit every day. That will help you walk in step. Spend time in Scripture. I mean, we say this every Sunday. We say this every Friday. But we're going to keep saying it. Because the Scriptures are written through the Holy Spirit. And so when we're letting Scripture speak to us, we're being reminded of what is in us, which is the Spirit. But are you spending quality time, not just having a quiet time, but having quality time in Scripture that connects you to God? Amen? You know, when we forget to do those kind of things, it's more easy for us to forget the Spirit. And to forget that He's within us. You know, some other things are pray with the people in your life. Talk to the people in your life and say, hey, let's do it together. Let's grow and walk them by the Spirit on campus, at Lehman, at City College, at NYU, here in the Village. Hey, friend so-and-so, let's read a spiritual book together that could help us grow to be more aware of God, grow to be more focused on Him, right? Another just different kind of practical is learn to ask yourself, in high temptation moments, what does the Spirit desire in this moment? Just stop. You're tempted, whatever you're tempted with, and just, what does the Spirit desire right now? And you'll know. You've read enough Scripture, right? You know enough about God to know, here's the holy decision right now, right? Whether that's with impatience or impurity or being bold when we're sharing our faith and we're trying to get out of our comfort zone. In that moment, just learn to ask yourself, what does the Spirit desire for me to do right now?
Yeah.
And if we're asking that, it starts to become who we are. Amen?
Good question.
The Lord is with you. His kingdom is for you. His Spirit is within you. And once we see that each of these things are true, once we realize the magnitude of those truths, the only proper response is the incredible response that Mary has. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I don't think we realize how amazing that is. She just went from disturbed and troubled to surrendered and faithful in minutes. And what she's saying here, we should want to say this about ourselves. I'm not just a college student. I'm not just a New Yorker. I am the Lord's servant. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Not just to my Christian friends, but to all people. And that we want to say to God, God, whatever you want to do in my life, may it be fulfilled. Right? We got dreams. Amen for them. We got things we want to do. Amen for them. But we can't want those more than what God wants to do in our lives. Amen, church? Whatever God wants to fulfill in your life, let him do it, right? And so Mary, man, we got to learn from Mary. We got to really think about how to imitate her faith in this moment. Think about this. If Mary didn't decide to be the Lord's servant, then Jesus couldn't be your Savior. If Mary didn't decide to be faithful and obey God, then we would all be left faithless, because we would have never received this king if Mary didn't do her part. Isn't that kind of epic to think about? One person's faith, millions of lives changed. One nobody from a nowhere town, people thinking she's crazy and unholy, God says, I'll use you to bring about the Savior of the world, right? Mary asked how. Mary struggled with her doubts, but she said, I am the Lord's servant. So in the same way, as a collective, as a church community, we need to all decide to be the Lord's servant, to walk by his Spirit, and to do our part. Because you guys know what that does? It leads to lives being changed. When we decide to be the Lord's servant, it leads to others having salvation. Amen? To other people knowing Jesus, being redeemed. If we as a collective don't decide to be servants of the Lord, then he can't use this group to bring heaven to this city. He'll find someone else to serve him. There's people out there that want to serve him. But God's saying, I can only use you if you say what Mary says. And you say, I'm the Lord's servant. Priority of my life. And so the question, which is where we started today, is who will you serve? Who will you serve? It's a simple question, but it's rich. And there's a lot for us to consider and to reflect on in our life right now. Will you serve the Lord no matter what the cost? Will you serve your kingdom or his kingdom? And so our encouragement from Hannah and I today, from what we're getting from this passage, is to decide to be a servant of the Lord, decide to care more about his kingdom than your faulty one. Decide to walk by his Spirit, not your flesh, because his Spirit is holy and your flesh is destructive. Decide to care more about his will for your life being fulfilled than what you want, because I guarantee you what he wants for your life is 1,000 times better than what you want for your life. Let it unfold. Watch it before your eyes. Let the people in this room let it come about. And 10, 20, 30 years from now, you're going to look back and be like, thank God I decided to follow Jesus and be like Mary. Because what God is, where he's brought me, is way better than what I had in mind. And some of us are here today that know that. And we've been a Christian long enough to be like, man, my life is amazing. And it's not because I'm so great, it's because of Jesus. And his Spirit has changed me. And so if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you've made that decision, we just want to ask you today, how can you grow in looking for ways to serve God in his church? How can you grow in that? To be more intentional, to look for ways how you can serve the King. This semester, how can you grow in walking by the Spirit? You know, if Christianity is new to you, if Scripture is new to you, if even this idea of being the Lord's servant is new to you, that is okay. Right? We want to welcome you. We have an awesome Bible study series that teaches about who Jesus is, teaches about how to follow him, how to be with him. And these are Bible studies we do every day, every week, outside of Sundays, on Sunday. We just want to help each other have a relationship with God. Amen? And so if you're interested in that, please talk to whoever brought you. Again, our heart is just to know the Lord, to grow in our relationship with God. We're going to close here by singing a song, which is really a psalm, Psalm 23.